Much of the buzz surrounding the 2012 election attests to what we already knew perhaps in 2008. Many Americans value down-home sincerity in their candidates more than they do qualities such as honesty, accuracy, or even intelligence. But what is sincerity? R.J. McGill Jr. looks to find out in his new book, Sincerity, How a Moral Idea Born 500 Years Ago Inspired Religious Wars, Modern Art, Hipster Chic, and the Curious Notion That We All Have Something to Say, No Matter How Dull. And it's a great pleasure to welcome R.J. McGill Jr. to the roundtable this morning.
Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me.
How did you come to this particular subject?
Well, I had written a book before about the history of irony, and what I kept coming across while writing that book was that at the core of irony and sort of satirical engagement was a kind of preservation of the ideal of sincerity. And I wanted to find out what the history of this ideal was, if it was something, you know, very relevant to our, or not relevant, but derived from our contemporary times, or if it had a much older history. And what I found just by reading and doing research was that it really has its origins in the Protestant Reformation as a demand placed upon religious believers to escape the authority of the church and convene with their true feelings and their sort of their inwardness with God.
Before you can trace its history, do you have to clearly define it?
Definitely. I've defined it, I mean, obviously, like with lots of thorny, ambiguous concepts, it's kind of messy, but the closest thing that I could get to, obviously, there's a dictionary definition. It really means, to be sincere is really to have the inner person match with his or her outer expression. And this is what we say when we say things like, does he or she really, really mean it? Does their inward state abide by what they're saying? And that's, you know, that really tells us a lot in the history and on a more philosophical level, tells us about the coherence of someone's personality. Are they, to how they present themselves, does that jive with how they're really feeling? Sometimes that's a great way to be, et cetera, but sometimes that's a bad way to be, because there are points and occasions where being sincere is an enormous mistake. And I think what's interesting about the topic and where the book sort of led me was to just to find out how very much Americans value this ideal and to suggest that maybe we value it too much in the wrong places.
This obviously is something that has been going on between humans and human communication since the beginning of us. So you're really looking at when we started to identify it and realize that there was such a thing, right?
Yeah, or to when, I mean, when you say something like is a moral ideal, other moral ideals would be things like honesty or dignity, these things that are promoted by either religious leaders, people who care for the inner lives of other people. These moral ideals are things that we reach for in order to live satisfying lives. Sincerity becomes one of these ideals during the Reformation in the religious realm. But it eventually travels outside of that realm with the sort of waning influence of the church over the inner lives of people during the 18th century Enlightenment and so forth, when science and sort of reason became vaulted traits to cultivate. Sincerity wanders outside of church influence and really finds a home in artistic and literary culture such that to be able to express yourself transparently in someone like a figure named Jean-Jacques Rousseau, it was of the utmost importance that he showed his readers exactly who he was, faults and all. And that had to do with the influence of this earlier religious weight.
I want to back up to something that you mentioned at the beginning of the interview of how you came to this project and look at the relationship between irony and sincerity. We think of an age of irony. Are we in an age of sincerity?
Yes, there's a definite, to use a $10 word, a fancy dialectic between irony and sincerity. And I think that we're in a phase now culturally where sincerity is in the realm of culture and the arts gaining more credence, where for a long time it was banished as the little sister to sit in the corner. Irony in literary and artistic culture was an enormously important tactic in the 80s and 90s for people to express criticism of contemporary culture. To be ironic and to have a distant sort of wry removed from things was the way that you maintained a sort of humanity and perspective in a culture that many people felt was crass and crushing of any kind of humanity. And to maintain one's inner distance from all this was important. But what's interesting, as I mentioned earlier, about maintaining that distance is that you attempt to you engage an ironic mode in order to preserve this valuable ideal of sincerity at the middle. And this this comes from the history of our sort of romantic culture, actually.
I found it interesting in the book of just throughout history and through human nature of just how hard we will work to appear sincere.
That's an absolutely fascinating absolutely fascinating moment. But there's been times where it's been recommended, where people have advised through, again, philosophical tracts and religious tracts that one should appear sincere. But where that finds its most comfortable home is in the work of Niccolo Machiavelli, the great political theorist from early 16th century Italy, who recommended that political leaders and this imaginary prince to whom he was writing the book, that the political leader should appear sincere at all times. Because if you appear sincere, people will think you're morally good. Although the reality behind the sort of illusion of sincerity was that you should be absolutely cutthroat and cunning at achieving your ends for the state. That's something that used to be called the reason of state, he named it. And the reason of state has in philosophical sort of ethical writing, a higher standard than personal morality. So you can do lots of bad things in order to achieve the ends of state. And this is the beginning of realist political thought, and it definitely finds a home in, you know, American and European political culture.
What brings sincerity into question? Is it an innate cynicism?
I don't know if it's innate. It's definitely modern. Cynicism has without a doubt been involved in Western culture since the Greeks. But in modern America, since the 20s or so, we've really become honed at being able to pick off the public mask and find out what's underneath, because we believe that, cynicism's basic premise is that nothing that you see is real, is that what's underneath the public mask is the real stuff, and cynicism's job and sort of modern art's job and modern literature's job is to peel off the facade and tell us what's underneath. While that can be useful and undoubtedly necessary, if it goes too far, and I think this is where it becomes relevant to the present, I think that we cast too much doubt on the public mask, as well as on things like tact and convention and social rituals, because we see, as Americans, we see all that stuff as sort of, it's a social construct, therefore it's not real. Underneath all that, that's the real person. But we lose a sense of society when we think that we have to uncover everything to get to the real person. And I think that's a real problem.
We don't ultimately know, do we, when someone is being sincere?
No, we don't. That's part of the black box of human beings. We can be incredibly convinced that they're sincere. We just have to quickly rewind to remember, though he's an amazing politician, Bill Clinton's denial. That's an amazing, that's an incredible moment in American media where, man, that seemed like the most sincere thing in the world, and you hear the person pounding on the desk, and this is absolutely true. This is absolutely untrue. But he was not being sincere. Lots of people immediately believed it. So we can't know, and that is what makes this a thorny issue, but also one that leads us down false roads, because when we look for that too much in political personalities, I think that we get distracted from more important values or criteria like basic geography, foreign policy knowledge, the ability to manage government effectively, These are all very not subjective things. They're very objective things that people should be able to do. And by concentrating all the time on whether the person really means it or not, I think that we don't concentrate enough on these other things.
The Clinton example aside, do you think there are times, can a case be made that people are often, they say sincere things without perhaps really being sincere, but they don't really know themselves?
They don't know themselves whether they're being sincere or not?
Yes.
Yeah, that's called Freudian slip often. That they're saying very real things, but don't necessarily aim to perform them. But you bring up a good point, because that's, you know, we're talking about the public realm. You know, all politics is performance. People know, specifically people that are being coached by strategists or whatever, know exactly what they're doing. And in just to bring up an ancient example again, I mean, in ancient Rome, conveying sincere things and able to get people to believe you was a part of rhetoric. People actually learned how to appear sincere. Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, through jokes and slips is usually when the real stuff comes out. We usually call that a gaffe, because the gaffe is sort of the only thing that's not really a gaffe. That's the only thing that actually says something real.
Well, the name of the book is Sincerity. It is published by Norton. R.J. McGill, Jr., I thank you very much for being with us, and I wish you all the luck in the world with the book.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me. It's a privilege.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Sincerity, How a Moral Idea Born 500 years ago inspired religious wars, modern art, hipster chic, and the curious notion that we all have something to say, no matter how dull. The book is published by Norton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.